produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, greetings to you all. This is Pearl Coupe, and this is just my usual weekly sharing that I do for various radio stations and also for various prayer networks and ministry groups. And today, I really wanted to start a little series, and it will be a series, teaching series, primarily on the gates, The season we're living in right now, beloveds, is a season that requires much, much prayer. And so there are many prayer networks that are rising up, prayer groups that are being started to try and push back the forces of darkness, prayer groups that are being assigned to pray over the nation, prayer groups that are being assigned also to possess the gates. And the aspect of possessing the gates is a promise, both a promise and a mandate that was given to God by Abraham. And gates are very, very important. So what I want to do is do a series of teaching over the next two or three series around gates. What are gates? What is the importance of gates in the spiritual realm? What does it mean? Because truly, one cannot be an effective and functioning intercessor, watchman, a prayer warrior, without understanding what the gates are, what they mean, and how we are to pray over the gates. How do we possess those gates in prayer? So I'm going to be doing a series of teachings, and this is the first in that series, teachings on gates, to give us an understanding. You know, the Bible tells us that we perish for lack of knowledge. And so we really need to understand this teaching on gates. And I do want to say also, from the outset, that the kingdom of darkness understands gates. They understand them well. And in many instances, in many places, they have actually taken possession of the gates. So, kinako, it is time that we as believers understand the significance of gates, the importance of gates, but not only understand them, but also possess the gates. And we possess them in prayer. We possess them in prophetic declarations and decrees. We possess them and make sure that we are the ones who are ruling and reigning. God has created us to rule and reign. From Genesis 1, He gave the dominion to us. And He said we should take dominion and we should take authority and we should subdue. And one of the ways that we can do that is through understanding of the gates, what they represent, and how in the spiritual realm we are to take possession of those gates. So this is the introductory session where we'll just be dealing with what is a gate. And I want to say from the outset that almost everything that we see has a gate. I mean, whether you're talking about houses have gates, cities have gates, bodies have gates, our bodies have gates. A gate essentially is a point of entry and a point of exit. So a gate is that place where things can enter and things can also exit. So a gate is therefore significant in that it determines what is allowed in and also what is disallowed or what is not allowed in. And as I've said, if you look at just your own human body, physically, physiologically, our body has gates. If you just look at our face, for instance, our face have gates. You look at the ears. It's a point of entry and exit. So information goes in. Ear gates. We have ear gates. We have nose gates. Your nose also is a gate. You know, oxygen goes in and carbon dioxide comes out. It's a gate. It's a point of entry. It's a point of access. Our eyes are gates also. Our eyes are gates. Our mouth is a gate. Our mouth is a critical gate. You know, things go inside our mouth and they also leave our mouth. Our head also is a gate. And then from still dealing with the body, we have reproductive gates, sexual gates and reproductive gates. Your sexual organs are gates. They're points of access. They're point of entry. Your reproductive gates also are also gates, your reproductive organs. All of those are gates. Your if you're a woman and you're talking about your ovaries and your fallopian tubes, those are gates. They're points of entry for the male seed to actually come in to access. So reproductive gates. And it would be important to understand that so that, for instance, if you are a woman reproductively and you are not having children, you are a married woman and there's a challenge or struggle with having children, that you can then, when you understand that your reproductive organs are gates, you now have the ability to speak to those gates and make declarations to those gates, that those gates should lift up their heads. Let those gates be now commanded and instructed that whatever is blocking those fallopian tubes, those fallopian tube gates, that you can now speak directly to them through prescriptive and commanding prayer. Sexual gates. It's important to know, if you are a young lady who's not married, how do you control your sexual gates to make sure that those gates are not prematurely entered into before you are married? So this is the importance of the teaching on gates. And as I've said, your body has gates, but also cities and nations have gates. If you're talking about city, some of the city gates, very important gates. Remember, we said that they're ports of entry and exit. So some of the very important gates would be airports, for instance. And I've said before that the Islamic faith knows the importance of gates, city gates. And that's why you'll find in almost every airport around the world, including our own airport in South Africa, O.R. Tambo, they have a dedicated place of prayer. So we Christians do not have dedicated places of prayer, but Muslims will have that dedicated place of prayer because they understand that the airport is a place of entry, a place of exit. It's a portal. It's a place where they pray and they are now possessing and commanding the gates. So not only airports, places like train stations, places like bus stations in a city, those are all gates. So if you're an intercessor, it's also important to understand the gates. And if you want to go and pray there as a team physically, go to the ports of entry and exit. You will find many times that there are places where there will be a lot of accidents, for instance, traffic accidents and car accidents where people die. In many instances, that place is a gate. It is a gate which may have been, you know, prayed over in a negative fashion, and that gate may have been, you know, commanded in a certain way. So it's important to understand those gates. And not only our bodies, you know, our houses, our cities, towns, and nations have gates, but even time has gates. So when you're an intercessor, you need to also understand that time also has gates. And we, you know, if you're an intercessor, you would refer to it as a prayer watch. And if you've read and studied the Bible very carefully, you would have noticed that the Bible will make specific references to specific prayer watches, you know, at 3 o'clock or at the 12 midnight hour watch, or, you know, something like that. So there are, time also has gates. There are certain times of prayer that when you pray, it unlocks and unleashes certain things. There are certain key prayer moments. And again, the kingdom of darkness operates and understands this. And they themselves are more active in certain times because the kingdom of darkness likes to operate under the cover of darkness. So if you and I are waging war against spiritual powers of darkness, there are certain times that it is better to pray. Now, I say that also, but also caution against praying in a religious way. In as much as there are prayer watch times, we must be careful of just praying religiously because it's 3 o'clock or because it's 12 o'clock or because it's 1 o'clock. Don't allow the fact that they are
gates of time, don't allow that to take away from your spontaneity in prayer. Because ultimately, we must pray as led by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we can get so locked in to praying at 12, to praying at 3, to praying at 6, that now you pray religiously and not being as being led by the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, all of us, as one sign that you and I are sons of God, are mature sons of God, is to the degree that we are led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by Holy Spirit shall be called the sons of God." So ultimately, don't allow prayer watch or prayer times to put you into a place of being religious where you just pray because of the time and you're not praying as led by the Spirit of God. So I wanted to put that proviso there, that in as much as, yes, we understand there are prayer watchers, don't be so locked into the prayer watch times that you cut yourself off from being led by Holy Spirit to pray throughout the day. Remember, the Bible anyway tells us to pray unceasingly. So we should always be open. Our spirit man should always be open to praying as being led by the Spirit of God. So we've talked about this. This is introductory. Almost everything has a gate. A gate is a point of entry. It's a point of exit. It determines what is allowed, what is not allowed. Our bodies have gates. Houses have gates. Communities have gates. Cities have gates. Time has gates, all of that. So essentially, a gate, as we've said, is any port of access used for the purpose of both entry and exit. And so any port of access is a gate. And that's why we call them ports, you know, such as seaports, airports, all of those. And the ports of access can be in the spiritual realm. They can also be in the physical realm, and they can be even in the soul realm. And, you know, sometimes these ports of access or gates, they can be visible and they can also be invisible. That's also very important to know so that we know how to deal with these gates. Sometimes we only look for the gates that we can see physically, but some gates are in the realm of the Spirit, and Holy Spirit is the one who will now begin to reveal some of the gates that we need to know about so that we can close those gates if need be, to disallow certain things, or so that we can open the gates when necessary to allow certain things. So any point of contact that is used for the purpose of gaining access to you as a person, to your family, or to give you access, or to give people access, whether it is in the spiritual realm, or the soulish realm, or the physical realm, or even the invisible realm or unseen world, that is a gate. That is a gate. So, you know, talk about the doors leading to your house or your office. Those are gates. And it's important that we man those gates. As if you are a leader of a home, if you are the husband and you are the leader of a household, it's important for you to know the gates so that you allow and disallow certain things into the family gate. The family has a gate. There are things that can access your family in the spiritual realm, in the invisible realm. So it's important that you, as a leader, even as a mom, as a mother who's praying, that you man the gates, your family gates, of what comes in, what does not come in. So all of that, if you're looking at a house, we're looking at it in the physical realm. The doors are gates, windows are gates, roofs are gates. All of those things are gates. And even within the house, remember I said to you that when you look at your body, your eyes are also gates, because whatever you see, it's a port of access. So what you look at goes into you and you become after what you see. That's why it's very important to man your eye gates, that you do not look at things, for instance, like pornography. Parents, be very careful that you monitor your children. I've heard parents say that It is harmless for children to watch pornography. It's just a thing that they go through and they'll go out. It is very harmful. In fact, scientifically, we are told that when anybody watches pornography, what it does is cause your brain to release a chemical substance in your brain called dopamine. And dopamine is that chemical substance which now makes you more aggressive. It brings character change into you. And they say dopamine is more addictive even than heroin and cocaine. So if you don't man your eye gate and you're not careful, that is why pornography is addictive. People who start watching pornography cannot stop because of the addictive aspect of dopamine, chemical substance being released in your brain. So your eye gate is a very important gate that you must man. And the Bible tells us not to look at certain things, but, you know, look at that which is taken, that think on these things, those things that are pure, that are lovely, all of those things. To the degree that you think on those things, you watch those things, is the degree that you will also become those things. But to the degree that you watch things that are perverted, that are corrupted, is the degree that you will also take after those things. So things, for instance, like television sets, telephones, radio sets, computers, they are also all gates because they all serve as what? As ports of access. Ports of access, because they are now what you watch on television, what you hear through your ear gates on the radio, through the telephone, what you see on your computers, they are all gates that are corresponding to your ear gates and your eye gates. So it's very important to understand this. So I'm going to talk in this session just about two aspects of gates so that as intercessors, we can understand the importance of why we need to man the gates. And in this session, next session, we're going to move to another aspect of gates, understanding gates from an intercessory and prayer point of view. But for now, I want to talk about two things. One, the aspect of gates operating as immigration posts. And the second aspect I'm going to discuss is gates also as security checkpoints, how they function as security checkpoints. So in the first instance, as immigration posts, if you have traveled, and many of you have traveled, I've traveled a lot from the age of 3. I've been traveling, so I've been traveling well over 55 years now. And I know for sure, as you probably do know, that you can never enter into any nation unless you first go past what? The immigration post. So the immigration post is a port of access. It's a port of entry. It's where nations, your entry into a nation will either be allowed or disallowed. Many nations will require that you have a visa. So if you do not have the visa, the required visa, or if you do not have the right visa, they may disallow you entry into the nation on that basis. And the immigration posts are always manned by who? By immigration officers. So I want us to understand this now also in the spiritual realm, that the gates, when we are praying over our nations, over our cities, over our communities, we must understand that to a certain degree as an intercessor, you are functioning as an immigration officer. You and I are functioning as immigration officers, whether we allow entry into that nation, into our city, or into also that community. And, you know, the immigration officers can be various groups. The immigration officers can be angels, the ministry of angels. Angels operate also as immigration posts. You know, if you go back to Daniel, remember reading the whole scripture about Daniel and the prince of Persia and all of that, then you see the angelic ministry functioning at the level of immigration post in terms of fighting the prince of Persia, and the mentioning of the warfaring angel Michael, who came as an immigration officer essentially to disallow the Prince of Persia, darkness of Prince of Persia, to enter. And the prayer, the arrival of Michael was provoked by the prayer of Daniel, the prayer of Daniel. So you and I as intercessors need to learn how to provoke prayer that will now release the ministry of angels that can now come and function as immigration officers to allow or to disallow certain things. Prayer that provokes the angelic ministry to function in their capacity as immigration officers. And I know right now that we have one of the groups I'm sending this teaching to is the WhatsApp group that's praying for one of our townships in South Africa, the Mamelodi group. And they have been praying because recently they've been terrorized. There's been a gang in Mamelodi that has been coming in to terrorize, especially business owners there, demanding money that they give them what they call is protection money. And if they don't give them protection money, they start breaking the businesses and damaging the businesses, demanding the protection of money. And so this is a scenario where we need to understand how to pray prayers that will invoke and provoke the ministering angels to respond as immigration officers who will now come in, the presence of the ministering angels to now function as immigration officers to allow and to disallow certain things. And we have another example, not only in Daniel 10, because the scripture I was referring to in Daniel was Daniel 10, from verses 12 to 21. Another example where we see the example of ministering angels coming in to now function as immigration officers at the immigration post to allow or disallow certain things is in Matthew 28, 2. If you read Matthew 28, 2, it reads as follows. It says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." So here again, we see another example of angelic ministry sitting at a port of access, a port of entry and exit. Remember that human men, human beings had been sent to man, that same place to ensure that nobody could come and take the body of Yeshua, that Yeshua could not escape in any way. So there were human beings that were manning that port of entry, that access. But God was able to send an earthquake, and that earthquake also came with angelic ministry, whereby after the stone was rolled back, then the angel also sat on it. That's another example of angelic ministry. Angels sitting at an immigration post, a key post to allow and to disallow. The angel sat on it to make sure that the stone does not roll back and that we understand and we know that the tomb is empty. You know, I remember that song we always used to sing around Passover. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. You know, death has lost its victory and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And the angelic ministry had rolled back the stone, sat on it, sat on that immigration post so that we understand that the tomb is empty. The grave is empty and Yeshua lives forever. So gates operate as immigration posts. It's very important as intercessors, as watchmen, that we understand this and that we now use those gates, the gates to our towns, the gates to our cities, the gates to our communities. Pray over them like they are immigration posts, assigning warfaring and ministering angels to man those gates. Second point I said I would talk about is also the gate as a security checkpoint. So they function as immigration posts where you can actually allow, disallow. You don't have a visa. You're not allowed. You are illegal. We disallow you to enter into our community, into my family. you are disallowed. Gates also function as security checkpoints. And here, you know, we're going to take a reading from Esther 2, verse 21. And the scripture reads as follows. It says, in those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigtan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Xerxes. So again, this gives us an understanding of gates, And it's telling us that Mordecai, who was Esther's cousin, not Esther's uncle, as I always hear people say, they were cousins because Mordecai's father and Esther's father were brothers. So we must read the scripture properly so that we don't mislead. That Mordecai was not Esther's uncle. He was her cousin. So Mordecai, who raised up Esther as an orphan and was Esther's cousin, says that he sat within the king's gate, So Mordecai was actually functioning as a gatekeeper. That was one of his essential functions. He was sitting within the king's gate, manning the gate, making sure who enters, who doesn't enter. And we are also told that Bigtan and Teresh, who were also doorkeepers or also gatekeepers, they wanted to, you know, there was an agenda that they had, But because Mordecai was seated at the gate, you know, this is what happens when we as gatekeepers are seated at the gates in the intercessory spiritual realm, and we sit there using those gates as security checkpoints in the intercessory realm. The Lord speaks to us, Holy Spirit directs us, and we are using the gates as security checkpoints. We have the ability as intercessors, as watchmen on the wall, we have the ability to use those gates as security checkpoints so that we can disallow any doorkeepers or gatekeepers that are coming from the kingdom of darkness. We can disallow them. So it's important to understand that so that you man your communities, your family gates, your city gates, all your gates, you man them with precision. You man them consistently. You man them in the spiritual realm. And so the last thing I want to say on the gate as a security checkpoint is from Isaiah 28 verses 5 and 6. And we're going to then close this session. And Isaiah 28, 5, 6 says, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. So, beloved intercessors, I want to say to you and encourage you that even as we've made the point that gates are also security checkpoints, because they are security checkpoints, you have the capacity to turn back the battle at the gate. The gate is a place where you turn back the battle. You as an intercessor are sitting on that gate. You are manning the gate like Mordecai. It is a security checkpoint, and you can turn the battle back at that gate, whether it's a group called Boko Haram that are trying to come in to begin to terrorize the people of Mamelodi or terrorize the nation of Nigeria. Whatever the case is, God has given you the grace and God has given you the ability to turn back the battle at the gate. And so may God give you revelation. May God give you understanding and may God give you strength. In this very scripture, Isaiah 28 verse 6, he says, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. May God give you strength to those of you who are praying in Mamelodi and other nations. May God give you strength, not just physical strength, but strength in your spirit, man, that you shall rise up and intercede. You shall rise up and pray. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And you will be bold, and he's given you a hard forehead, and you will go forth, and you will man the gate, and you will not You will not abandon that gate, but you will rise up individually and at a corporate level, and you will rise up to turn the battle back at the gate, and the communities will be liberated and the cities will be freed, because there will be known that there's a generation that has risen up, a generation that has risen up to possess the gates, to sit at the gates, to release angelic ministry that will become immigration officers. It'll be known that there's a generation that has risen up to man the gates and to use them as security checkpoints to disallow criminality. Criminality will not be allowed in Mamelodi or any other place. Violence will not be heard in our land. And so, Father, we thank you for strength, and we thank you for grace, and we thank you for your ability, and we thank you, Lord, that you've not given us a spirit of fear, and we thank you for the angelic ministration that has been released to come and begin to support us, to come and begin to operate with us. Thank you for the warfaring angels over South Africa. Every criminal spirit, every spirit of xenophobia, every spirit of robbery and murder. Thank you, Lord God, that right now the immigration posts, the ports of entry and access are being manned by your watchmen, are being manned by your people, are being manned by your intercessors. And we will not abandon our posts, Father, but we will be steadfast in prayer, in prophetic declaration, in prophetic decrees. And Lord, we bless you and we honor you and we thank you, even as you continue to teach us about gates and to teach us about how to man the gates, Lord. May you be faithful also to man our own gates, our family gates. Thank you for protection and provision, Father, in the matchless name of Yeshua, that each and every one of us are protected. Let our health gates be protected, Father, in the season of COVID. Thank you, Lord God, that our biological gates are protected. Every one of our organs are protected right now. Our gates are protected, and we walk in divine health, and we will not expire before our time. But Lord, we bless you, and we honor you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In the matchless name of Yeshua, we thank you. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network. This is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia with our co-producer, Kayla Pajet. This is the voice to empower you, empowering you for your destiny. Please engage with us as we get into the authority of the Word of God, because this is meant to change your life.
Deal one on one with them all, one by one, so that all of us can understand what God wants to do. So the first one is the father and the child. Say that with me. Father and child. Number two is the porter and the clay. Say that with me.
The porter and the clay.
And number three is the sheep and the shepherd. Say
sheep.
Number four, the vine and the branches.
The vine and the branches.
Number five, creator and creation.
Creator and creation.
Say that again.
Creator.
Number six, the head and the body.
The head and the body.
And the last one, the bride and the groom.
The bride and the groom.
Now, we are designed in our relationship with God to start understanding. We start like babies. We look up to him and see that picture there, you know, that you can put up for me, the picture of a father and a child. And it's very important that we understand what happens in our walk with him. That picture there is the father and the child. You can come up with different interpretations there, but the thing that I want you to understand, it's amazing for me, because the father doesn't stand up and expect the child to reach out to him.
Yeah.
It's important that you get that as a child of God, in your walk with God. Sometimes we find ourselves laying all these expectations that we put against God, and we think this is what is expected of us. Here, one thing that I wanted to know, the picture that I wanted to have about your God as a father is always stooping down.
That's right.
Did you know what I say? Catch that, because that's very, very important. And I've deliberately don't want to go deeper in this because in the house we've got a child psychologist, Esther. When I teach this one here, I'm going to ask you, many of you don't know, that girl over there, that lady over there, she's a child psychologist, that one, very qualified. And I want us to make sure that she will help me preach this message because I will be telling you the things we always say to our children that are unguarded. They grow up with them in adulthood, and oftentimes they shape their values, and we wonder why they are what they are. Things like, she's the cute one in the family. Good statement. We like saying that. Oh, he's the smart one of the family. And all other kids are here. It's an innocent statement, but it's toxic. Yeah. Because as you walk with God, you soon realize that that's a very, very important time. The reason why the devil likes to take advantage and make sure that they are abused and are vulnerable at this age, because he knows very well that at this age you are pliable. And the values that are being put inside your life at this stage, you are very fluid. And once they are formed by the age of 7, you have heard what the Roman Catholics believe. That give me a child and you can take him once they are 7. Because once they are 7, I have built inside them things that will shape their life. Have you not found out that even after a person grows up, you can be older? Oh yeah, I'm Catholic. Even though they don't go to Catholic church. It is because if it is put at a very young age, it shapes them. And when they grow up with those values, either for the good or for the bad. Talking to the man yesterday, they were saying, I find it shocking that substance abuse in Australia alone, 2019, they reported 9 billion spent on substance abuse. And I appreciated God more about this church, that we are intentional in making sure men and women are set free to live their God-given destiny. Amen. Can you imagine if we get them at that age and they grow with this? This nation will never be the same again. Amen. The devil tries by all means to get them. When you go in the third world in Africa, you'll find boys under the bridges sniffing glue. It is because if the devil can find them, at a very young age, destroys their future forever. Someone said the devil is a liar. So you and I, you are the product of God's grace, and I thank God so much for you. When you come to Christ, it does not matter whatever they would have said about you when you were young in terms of your natural parents. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It's important to understand, therefore, that journey. God is a father, and because he's a father, I'm a child. I love it because the story that we talk about also, about the woman was caught in adultery. Remember that story in John chapter 8? The woman was caught in adultery. The Bible says, in the very act, Jesus does the same thing. They say, she is caught in the very act of adultery. They expect Jesus Christ to condemn. That's what we do. To judge. That's what we do. To blame. That's what we do. But oh, he follows that posture. He went down. And he started writing on the ground. Because it's the posture of your father. Whenever you fail, never think in your life, he is up there looking at you for punishment. In fact, it's a good word for you to learn. God never punishes his children. He disciplines them. There's a difference. Do you get it? Punishment is from the devil. Discipline is from the father. Talk to me? So it's important that you understand that posture, that that's what he did. It's the picture of the redemption story. He left glory. He came down all the way from the celestial soul. And he came down to humanity. Because whenever you and I come before him, it's never about our good works. It's not your righteousness. It's not your goodness. It's not you trying to please him. because it's not your righteousness. It is the righteousness that was on Jesus Christ imparted on you. Somebody declare, I am righteous. But like I told you, I'm not preaching about that until Esther comes up here with me. No, she doesn't want to come up here, but I'll tell you what, she will. I'm going to give her a couple of weeks and don't let me do that. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, I want to talk to you about the second level. Once God looks at you and he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, a process begins after salvation that I want every one of you to think about and always to remember. And that image is the image of the potter and the clay. The what?
The potter and the clay.
That time of the potter and the clay, you were a baby. And as a baby, you are looking up to your father, protection, provider, and is everything. Actually, the Jewish people, I come here with some paraphernalia. The Jewish knew it very well. This is what they call the tali. It's a prayer shower. But when you go to Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem, you'll find them with their kids covered in this thing. This is what was called the closet. When Jesus talked about prayer, praying in the closet. And it is this thing. It is not the closet where we put the broom. I'm sure you know where we are. It is this, because in here, it talks about protection. Someone shout protection.
Protection.
It talks about provision. Someone shout provision.
Provision.
Because when they bring the Jewish fathers, when they raise their children under this protection, that is to do with the canopy that protects them from everything that is negative out there in the world. But they are saying, outside this canopy, outside this covering, out there, there will be people that will tell you, you are insignificant, you are not good enough, you are worthless, you have no value. But as I put you under this canopy, I am saying to you, I've got some words that are better that I need to tell you. You are valued. You are accepted. You are the daughter of the Most High God. You are the son of the Most High God. God loves you just the way you are. Keep on walking. Keep on trusting him, because God is working your work in your life. And because he began that work, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
But the potter and the clay speaks to something else different, because I want you to understand the intention or the purpose plan of the potter. The potter knows exactly what he has in his mind for the clay. So. This is the end product. We're in Japan with my wife a few years ago, and the potter gave us this. But because of my wanting to understand Jeremiah chapter 18, which I wanted to put up there, Jeremiah chapter 18, the first 6 verses, I wanted to understand the journey from the clay to this. I wanted to understand, because he said to me, when I was talking to me and my wife, he said, you can put hot water in this, it will not break. You can put whatever you want in this, because it has been tested. It has gone through all the pain necessary. So it will hold anything. I said, oh wow. He said, this one, you put sugar if you want there, you can put coffee there, but it's really a small. If you want, you can put there, and then you can cover it. It can retain the heat of whatever you would have put there that is warm. It can retain, because it's not just ordinary soil. Now it's clay. And that caught my attention. I said, what do you mean? He said, yes, because there's a difference between mud and clay. Said, oh, you are talking to me. What are you saying? And I said, okay, let's go to the word of God and let's see what it says there. Want to go, let's be together. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, arise and go down to the border side. There, keep going. Then I went down
to the prophet's house.
And then he was
making something
happen. Mm-hmm. And the vessel was not in the hand of the potter. So he made again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. I've always loved that verse 4. And verse 4, if for any verses that I want you to memorize, I want you to memorize that verse. But that verse there talks about your life, really. That verse there, the vessel that he made, not what you wanted to be. Because many of us, we get tired of life and get disappointed in life, and we all get messed up in life and in our thinking because we have an ideal image of what we believe we wanted to be. But I think I love the fact that the potter knows his intention.
Amen.
About Josh Moyo. He knows what I was supposed to be. And oh, it's a joy to live a life designed for you by the potter.
Amen.
I told you last time. I told you that grade 4, grade 5, grade 6 were the most terrible years in my primary school. Say why?
Why?
Say that again, why?
Why?
Because. From grade 4, my mom realized when I came with the report every time back home, it was saying, subject, good, but talkative. Good, but talkative. Mom will sit down here. When you go to school, you are not the teacher, you are the student. Mama did not know what's talking to the teacher. I can tell, a few of you are getting
it.
Mama did not know what's talking to the teacher. That behind the talkativeness, there was a teacher in the making.
Yeah.
That's why when you walk with God, there are never losses and wins. With God, it's always wins. Because every stage of the way is walk with God. It's designed either to be a lesson or a win. That is why Romans 8 says, verse 28, all things work together for the good. I know you didn't like to go to the jail. You didn't like to go to the prison. You didn't like to find yourself engaging in drugs. But would have lost opportunity to hear the testimony of Johnny and Amy of how God has saved their lives and that today they can build a family. It is because of their testimony that I can be encouraged. That no matter how low life has taken me, I can pick up myself and say, devil, if God did it for Johnny and Amy, if God did it for Phil, if God did it for Paul, if God did it for Mary, if God did it for Shelley, if God did it for America, if God did it for Edward, he will surely do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's out here.
Yeah.
Somebody's out glory.
Let's fight
him and say, very excellent result, but talkative. Those were very, very painful years. And I want to say to somebody, I do not know what levels they've given you. But I want to say to you, behind every negative level, there is something there that the devil doesn't want you to see. And if you look closely from the eyes of the potter, the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And I love the fact that no matter how far you think you can go, but you're always in his hands. Somebody saw that in his hands.
Amen.
Because the devil would like you to think you're too far away from God. The devil would like you to think that it's over with you. The devil would like you to think that now you better kill yourself. Suicidal thoughts and you get depressed and you get all the stresses of life. But I'm here to say to you, you can never be too far away from God. Always
Amen.
In his hands.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
The Bible says, It was marred in the hand of the boy that saw him made in that day. Somebody shout, my day is coming.
My day is coming.
I can't hear you. Shout it again, my day is coming.
My day is coming.
Some of you don't understand exactly what's happening around your life. You are in this place and in this valley of confusion. Some of you don't understand exactly what's happening. It's like you're in a blunder. Some of you, you don't understand. It's like you're in a roller coaster. It's like up and down, up and down. But I need to say to you, wait for the picture.
Right.
Because at the end of it all, you can only get positives out of negatives.
Amen.
Because those who shoot with cameras, they will tell you.
Amen.
That positives start as negatives. And they put them in a dark place.
Amen.
It is from that dark place you come out the perfect picture. Somebody shout, my gain is coming. Shout again, my gain is on the way. Give God a big enough praise if you believe in it. The Bible says, the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. I love that. When I come back the second time, I won't be a pastor, I'll be a prophet. I said, when I come back the second time, I don't know about me. I don't know about you. When I come back for the second time, I was a manager, but my coming back, I'll be a supervisor. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't know my coming back, but my comeback, when I come back, I won't be what I used to be.
Yeah.
I won't sing the way you have been used to. You look at me and say, he's the one? Nah. Nah. Why? Because people want you to remain at a particular level and stay there. But I thank God that when God takes a person, he takes you from where you are.
Yes.
That is why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, for you to understand the intention of the potter and the clay is not known by the clay. It is known by the potter.
Yes.
And I'm about to say a statement. While is the intention of the potter is to bring out this perfect image, problem he has, the clay is not always cooperative.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
Problem is that the clay, when the potter goes digging it out, it's worthless. People are stepping on it. People are spitting on it. Am I joking?
Yeah.
It's worthless. When you look at it, has no value. It doesn't look like anything will come out of there. When you look at it, it really looks, it is just dust. It is just ordinary clay. But then he takes it and he digs it out. I wanted to know today that some of you, God is taking you through a process. And when he takes you through the process, he's using this shovel to make sure that he digs out the gold that is in you. I'm about to say another statement. Tweet it, Johnny. I'm going to say a statement. You can either see dirt in gold or gold in dirt. Because many of us, we see always the negative in our people, the negative in our children. We always see the negative in our family members, the negative of the people. Yet you can choose that picture and begin to see it. I choose to see the good buried in the bad.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
There is some goodness there. There is some sweetness there. There is something that is of great value that you do not see. Paul says it this way. What eyes have not seen?
Amen.
What ears have not heard? The great and the marvelous things that God has prepared for you.
Amen.
I prophesy to you therefore that get yourself ready, because as you come back, your comeback is going to be greater, it's going to be brighter, it's going to be better than what you used to be. You are not in your yesterday, you are not in your past, you are not where the enemy wants you to be. Where you are going to is brighter and better than where you are coming from. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
In the hand of the potter. When he digs it out, then he goes and put it in a drum. He takes the clay. He puts it in a big drum. And then he pours seawater
in this drum, and he lived it there for months. He lived it there, almost forget about it, in that dark zone. Ha! He lives it there, comes to it, stares it. There's something that he's after. He's after the plasticity and the pliability, so that the more he does that, the clay begins to sift itself from the mud. What is the difference? There is a difference between the clay and the mud, because clay, under heat, it then softens. But mud, under the same S-U-N, it hardens. Because what God wants of you, He wants you to go through the process so that the muddiness in you, the hardness in you, I'll never forgive them. Resentment and bitterness, the hardness in you, particles fall away. The clay in you, you become pliable. That is why it says, for they that are led by the Spirit are children of God, not those who are mud, because mud is hard, but clay gets softer. I pray for you today that even as you are in this big drum and you are being weathering under this weather of this big drum, and the Lord is sifting out things, and when He brings you out, you will be softer to hear the voice of God. Because, oh, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, listen to me. In the world we are living in, there are many voices that are talking. And it's not every voice that is speaking in the spiritual is the voice of God. It's important for you to get this. It's important for you to get this. Not every voice that is speaking in the spiritual world is the voice of the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says even the devil masquerades himself as an angel of light. Because it is possible to think that you heard from God and you did not hear from God. You actually heard from the devil.
Come on.
Steve Frederick said this, and it changed my life. He said, do you notice? We think when the devil comes, he's coming with this big fork and with a tail, and we think actually, oh, that's the devil, I can say no. The devil is smarter than that. When he tempted Jesus, who?
Jesus.
Did you hear what I said? And please, if you look at yourself, you're not Jesus, all right? When he tempted Jesus, here's what he did. Change these stones to bread, because it is written, you being the Son of God, you can do this. Devil is quoting scripture. I get it. I can get it if the devil came to me and asked me to do something that was bizarre out there. But what do you do if the devil is using the Bible to move you away from the Bible? That's how cunning he can be. That is why if you are a child of God, you will be clever to read more and understand the Bible.
Hey, man. This once again is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on Western Standard Time with our co-producer Kayla Paget. This has been wonderful talking with you. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.